It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we want to focus on net neutrality. You've probably heard that phrase, may not know what it means. You may be thinking the topic of net neutrality isn't very exciting. I get that. However, it is very important and could potentially have a significant impact on all of us as we use the internet. That's why we want to devote this half hour to discussing it. Last week, the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, revealed a plan that would roll back net neutrality rules. These are rules that, for instance, make it illegal for internet service providers to slow down or speed up your access to a certain website. Joining us to talk about it is the chair of the Federal Communications Commission, Ajit Pai. He was appointed to the FCC under President Obama and elevated to the position of chair in January by Donald Trump. Ajit Pai, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So we want to make sure we have a good grasp as much as we can in our positions consumers of the internet about net neutrality. As I understand it, all data currently has to be treated equally. And the principle is that the internet service providers should enable access to all content and applications, regardless of the source and without favoring or blocking particular products or websites. That's where we get neutral, the equality here. What is your plan to change this and why?
Great question. So my goal is to preserve the free and open internet that all of us as consumers of online innovation have come to expect. And my goal, however, is also to make sure that we don't impose the heavy-handed regulation known as Title II that was imposed in 2015. Now, back in the 1990s, President Clinton and a Republican Congress made the historic decision not to subject the internet to those heavy-handed regulations. They decided to adopt what were known as light touch regulations. They let the marketplace develop, as President Clinton put it, unfettered from federal and state regulation. And if there was a particular company that was behaving in an anti-competitive way, they would take targeted action against that company. And that light-touch regulatory approach has produced unparalleled benefits. It's made America's internet economy the envy of the world. It's given us globally known names like Google and Facebook and Netflix. And so all we're simply doing is removing the heavy-handed regulations, but preserving those core principles of the open internet that have served us so well.
Mm-hmm. Heavy-handed regulations, that's a loaded phrase. Can you give me an example of what that might be and how that has impacted us in a negative way, so-called heavy-handed regulations? What are they?
Absolutely. So if you look at Title II of the Communications Act, which is what these rules are based on, it includes everything from very prescriptive regulation of rates to the FCC having the authority to specify how companies build out networks to all sorts of requirements about accounting and filing reports with the FCC and doing all kinds of paperwork. And that's part of the reason why we've heard, not just from the big companies, but the smaller companies, the ones we want to provide a more competitive internet marketplace, who have told us that Title II, as they put it, last week, hangs like a black cloud over our businesses. It's kept us from getting financing, and it's prevented us from building out our networks. And so going forward, our goal is twofold. Number one, of course, to preserve the free open internet, but also, number two, to make sure that companies, especially the smaller companies, have an incentive to build these networks. Because if they don't, it's the rural areas, the low-income urban areas, and others who are going to be left on the wrong side of the digital divide.
I guess one of the concerns here, one of the criticisms is that it would work against startup competitors because the big telecom companies can strike deals that favor certain players favoring big cable companies here. But you're arguing that it increases competition, not decreases it.
Absolutely. Two responses to that. Number one, past this prologue, we did not have these Title II regulations prior to 2015. And in that environment, even in the absence of these regulations, we saw a lot of startups flourish, including the companies that I just named. Number two, to the extent that we did see any kind of anti-competitive conduct like that, there are already existing laws on the books, competition law, for example, the Antitrust Division at the Justice Department, the Federal Trade Commission, as well as consumer protection authorities. companies, state agencies, and others who have the ability to take action to protect consumers and protect online innovators. And so I'm confident that we would be able to have the internet economy that we had prior to 2015 going forward with ample legal protections for everybody.
My guest this half hour is the chair of the Federal Communications Commission, Ajit Pai, and he's talking about a plan that would roll back net neutrality rules. He's just described those, and I'd like to have a caller join us now. Tony Townsend is Associate Professor of Management Information Systems at Iowa State University. Tony, are you there?
I am.
You're currently writing a paper, I understand, on the possible economic implications of these changes if they go through. What is your reaction to the proposed changes and what Chairman Pai has just described here as the benefits of going this route?
Well, I think that the FCC is looking at this sort of at the top of the game. So the free market exists at the top. There's no doubt about that. The big players all compete in a very free market environment. Top-level telecoms, content providers, you know, Netflix, Amazon, Google, blah, blah, blah. The problem is that as the big access providers start to change pricing, access, and services to make their own profits, it changes the pricing and access of individual users, and we have no free market. Vast majority of individual users are bound to a, you know, very limited set of access providers, usually a cable company and a DSL provider, who they enjoy monopoly access to the consumers. And if we change the top-level access, speed Mediacom, again, you know, say that Mediacom makes a new deal and changes top-level access, and Netflix slows way down. Who am I going to go to instead of my Mediacom provider?
Mm-hmm.
To the slower DSL provider? Free market at the top can't work until there's a real free market at the bottom as well.
Okay, let's have Chairman Pai respond to that. What about that? That okay, it's fine for the big boys in the game, but those of us, and we know most of us, you know, we operate having to get our internet from a monopoly. They call the shots, and we either take it or choose a second choice that is not nearly so good. So what about that concern, Chairman Pai?
It's a very important concern, and I would have two responses. Number one, Title II, the net neutrality regulations adopted by the previous commission, does not solve that. In fact, it accentuates it precisely because these regulations have a disproportionate effect on smaller would-be internet service providers who want to enter the marketplace or expand their networks. It's the smaller cable and wireless and other companies who don't have the compliance resources, the armies of lawyers and accountants to comply with these regulations, who are holding back on investment, preventing more competition. And that's one of the things we want to avoid. Number two, again, we want to make sure that we preserve that incentive for everybody to participate going forward. And that's why I've adopted over the last 3 months, with the consent of each of my colleagues, Republican and Democrat, the most wide-ranging reforms in a generation of some of our regulations. I'm making sure that on the wireless side, for example, we cover all of Iowa with 4G LTE. We build out more fixed broadband through our federal subsidy program to unserved parts of Iowa and the Midwest. And so, you know, going forward, we have a very proactive agenda to promote more competition through the FCC, but these Title II regulations simply don't solve that problem and actually make it worse.
Mm-hmm. Tony Townsend, does that convince you?
Well, not completely. I mean, I think the commissioner's heart is certainly in the right place, and I think that the problem of the lack of free market at the bottom of the pecking order is more of a local problem. I mean, most communities that have a cable system have a local cable board, or used to have a local cable board that regulated these kind of things. They've fallen into sort of a sad state of disrepair. The problem is that the other solutions, like the 4G networks and the broadband wireless and things, aren't as fast as the hardwired systems, and the hardwired systems are currently locked up under monopoly control. And they're very difficult to construct new ones, because then you have to have new, you know, common rights of way and, you know, issues with the state law and stuff like that. So, I mean, something needs to be done at the federal level to encourage states to encourage a proliferation of wired as well as wireless forms of access. and then maybe some of these things begin to play out a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could add, just for a second, I think the professor is exactly right, and that's why in my first month I announced the creation of a broadband deployment advisory committee, which is recommending to the FCC specifically on this point, getting competitors better access to the rights of way, making sure that there aren't regulations that end up benefiting the incumbents. This is exactly where we're taking action to make sure that all these companies, regardless of the technology they use, can enter the marketplace without these market barriers standing in the way.
Mm-hmm. Tony and Ajit Pai, we're getting fairly thick into the weeds here, and I know.
Sorry about that.
Perhaps necessarily so, but if we can make it as accessible to the consumers of the internet that are listening, myself included. Tony, for instance, what do you say to the most important thing that the average consumer who isn't plugged into this debate should know going forward?
Well, their access to some of their favorite services may change as a function of the changes in the net neutrality rules. If the commissioner is successful and these things play out well, they may notice very little, disappointing change. But this is playing out at a high-stakes money level, and competitors will be trying to bash each other over the head with different deals from the Internet service providers, and we may eradicate some attractive services as the real money comes into play there. So I think that we're looking at a period of change that many of us may not like.
Mm-hmm. Is that a possibility, Chairman Pai, that, well, depending on how the outcome here, if this plan goes through, we may like it, we may not?
No, I don't tend to agree. I think, to the contrary, if we remove these regulations, we are going to see a continuing flowering of the internet economy that we had prior to 2015. And for Iowans, I think that means better internet access, more competition, more investment in the networks, more people going back to work building these networks. And that's the kind of light-touch regulation that started in the Clinton administration. I think it served us well for the better part of two decades.
Mm-hmm. And Tony Townsend, you don't rule that vision of Chairman Pai out? Do you think that is a possibility?
Oh, I'm a pessimist. I think that there will be some problems. I think it is compounded by changes in the way that we're handling taxation for electronic commerce. People are in for a big change, I think, over the next, say, 2 or 3 years with how they interface with the Internet and what the Internet does for them and what savings they realize on and stuff. I mean, I really hope and pray that bringing down those competitive barriers to new entry into the broadband service markets, that could be a really huge deal if it actually works out. So, I mean, my commendation to the chairman for pushing on that. But push hard, Chairman, push hard.
Oh, absolutely, I will. It's not easy, and there are a lot of people who oppose it for obvious reasons, but I'm committed, as someone who grew up in rural Kansas, to make sure that everyone in this country who wants high-quality, affordable internet access is able to get it. And we'll work hard to make that vision a reality.
Ajit Pai, having grown up in rural Kansas, tell us, that must apply to rural Iowa as well. Is there a succinct way to put the benefits you see for rural Iowa in particular and the slower internet speeds that rural Iowans have to put up with?
Oh, without question. When I go back home and I visit my parents who lived on a dirt road right outside of Parsons, Kansas, I recognize very keenly that not every American has the high-speed internet access that some folks in Washington, D.C. or other big cities take for granted. And so to me, it's personal as well as professional that we want to make sure that the rules of the road that the FCC sets gives every American a chance at what I've called digital opportunity. And to the extent that rural areas in particular don't provide a return on the investment to some companies, we need to do what we can to help bridge that gap. And so that's why I've devoted billions of federal subsidy dollars towards rural America, to making sure those networks get built out. And that's why I focused on the regulatory side, making sure that we streamline the regulations to get rid of some of the barriers to investing in rural America that we've seen in recent years. Because increasingly, of the 34 million Americans who don't have internet access, that's disproportionately present in rural America. And we're essentially creating two different societies in the digital age, which I don't think is healthy for civic engagement in the future.
Let's go to a listener in Des Moines. Matt dialed in from Des Moines. Matt, what is your perspective on this? I'll have to ask you to be brief. We're coming up on the end of our conversation.
Hi, I'll try and make this quick. Just one quick comment on it being highly regulated as a utility. For example, there are still small telephone companies all across Iowa that have, you know, very few subscribers, and they still make money and they still exist. So I don't know if that's a really good argument against ISPs doing the same thing, the share lines, et cetera. But my main question is how my concern would be a competitor say Netflix is launched, Mediacom is my internet provider. They're also going to launch a streaming service. What is to stop Mediacom from limiting my access to Netflix or holding Netflix hostage to pay more, like we've already seen Verizon try and do?
Mm-hmm. Chairman Pai?
Well, first, with respect to the rural carriers, it's important to remember that they are heavily subsidized by the FCC, and number two, that they have come out in favor of my proposal to remove this Title II regulation. But secondly, with respect to your question, there are two things. Number one, it's bad business. And number two, even to the extent they did that, again, if they're behaving in an anti-competitive way, there are clearly existing competition authorities on the books at the Justice Department, the Federal Trade Commission, at the Iowa state level to protect against that kind of conduct. That's the last thing we want to see, and we haven't seen it in the marketplace thus far.
Mm-hmm. Andy, in an email, gets in a very important question. He says, I'm not hearing any talk about the core issue of net neutrality. I'm wondering how we guarantee free speech over the internet by guaranteeing carriers don't prioritize some traffic over other traffic.
Oh, absolutely. I'm the foremost defender of free speech of the commission. I've spoken about it for many years, and the fact that the internet is arguably one of the most democratizing forces in history. It's allowed Americans who didn't have a voice previously to have a voice now. And so going forward, we're going to be committed to having the open internet as a platform for free speech. That's what we've had for the last couple of decades, and I'm confident that we'll have it going forward. Title II wasn't necessary to preserve that value. We had free speech over the internet prior to 2015.
Mm-hmm. All right. Another guest we've invited on the program, Doug Jacobson, is with us. Doug is a professor of electrical and computer engineering at Iowa State University. Doug, welcome to the program. We only have a few minutes left. You've been listening to the conversation this far. As a professor of electrical and computer engineering at ISU, what's your angle on this and your thoughts on redoing this net neutrality?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of resonate with the last comments about, you know, I'm more interested in the provider side as far as what the removal of these guarantees of equal access and what effect that's going to have. You know, you talk about competition, and as was pointed out, there's not a lot of competition in rural Iowa. But I also look recently at, you know, the same model of denying and charging, you know, with the recent fights between the satellite providers and the providers of local channels, and you lose your channel for a month because mm-hmm. they're fighting over money. And I'm just wondering if that's where we're going to end up without any kind of oversight.
Mm-hmm. A response to that, Chairman Pai?
Absolutely. First, we don't want to see anything like that happen on the internet. And one could argue that part of the reason why we see those blackouts is because this is a highly regulated field. The satellites satellite companies carrying certain channels, there are certain copyright and regulatory requirements from the FCC that have to be abided by. And it's not a free market in that environment. Number two, one of the things we have to remember, again, is that we've had a free and open internet. And so all we're talking about is simply returning to the Clinton era approach of light touch regulation that persisted over the Clinton era, the Bush era, and the first 6 years of the Obama era. And so I'm pretty confident that we're going to see, you know, more infrastructure investment, a free and open internet, and entrepreneurs everywhere thriving. And, you know, I had a chance to visit Gravitate last fall in Des Moines. And that's one of the things that's amazing is that companies that can be started in Des Moines and places like that now have a chance to do it if you have the infrastructure in place to make the Iowa and the Midwest a competitor to the Silicon Valleys of the world.
Mm-hmm. If this is so non-controversial in your eyes, Chairman Pai, why is there so much controversy about it? Why are there so many concerns about this change? Simply stated, the internet in its current form is not broken, so why do you need to fix it?
Exactly. The point I've made is that it wasn't broken prior to 2015 either. And unfortunately, there are a lot of special interests who have ginned up a lot of hysteria about these changes. So you're going to lose internet access altogether, or you're not going to be able to access certain websites, or, you know, this is just they trot out a parade of horribles. And the reality is pretty mundane. If you talk to President Clinton's first FCC chairman under the during the internet years, he's said the same thing consistently, which is that these Title II regulations, if we had imposed them at the dawn of the internet age, we would not have the digital economy that we've got. And so, you know, I think some people might have a vested interest in making this seem a lot scarier than it is, but in reality, it's a pretty mundane regulatory framework that has been around for a long time that simply guarantees an open internet and promotes more infrastructure investment. Those are the two twin goals that have worked in concert for many, many years to produce unparalleled value for American consumers.
Professor Jacobson, are you convinced?
Well, and maybe let me ask a question.
Sure.
You brought it.
We only have a couple minutes, so please make it brief.
Yep. So you talk about Title II. Is another possible solution to look at trying to do the same type of thing as far as guaranteeing equal rate, equal speed, so on, but not under a Title II? Is really the issue the fact that that we've moved under the wrong law or the wrong title for this net neutrality?
That is exactly right. All I'm simply saying is that I think the FCC chose the wrong legal framework. Instead of wielding the sledgehammer to battle a flea, I've opened the conversation to think about what are the right tools to address the problem of that flea. And so, you know, the sledgehammer doesn't work in my view, but there are other tools in the toolbox, and I've simply proposed, let's take a look at what those tools might be, and if we want to involve Congress as well. And I would think ultimately we'd love to have a bipartisan decision by Congress to update the rules that have been on the books for many decades now to let us all know what the rules of the road are going to be toward a free and open internet.
Okay, we have about a minute or so left. Chairman Pai, what happens next in this conversation? I understand that it may or may not be approved on May 18th at an FCC meeting.
So the FCC will be voting on what's called a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, which is essentially just a proposal to remove the Title II regulations and ask for public input as to the way forward. Then there will be a couple of months of time for the public to submit their comments to the FCC. And then at that point, the agency will take stock and figure out all the facts in the record, and then at some point thereafter make the appropriate judgment.
Mm-hmm. So you see your job in the next few weeks is you are completely convinced this is the right way to go. So your job is to, in your eyes, to raise public awareness about this new way forward.
Absolutely. And I speak, you know, not just as a regulator, but as someone who has personally benefited deeply from the digital world that has been developed over the last 20 years. And so the last thing we want to do is to jeopardize the free and open internet. This is simply a conversation about the right legal framework for preserving those core values that all of us, I think, treasure.
Okay. Chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, Ajit Pai, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also, thanks to Doug Jacobson of Iowa State University and Tony Townsend of Iowa State University for your expertise as we, I guess, slowly extract ourselves from the weeds, so to speak, of talking about net neutrality. When we come back, we'll ask what is behind the sudden rise in cases of gonorrhea in Iowa and sexually transmitted disease otherwise. My guests are George Walton of the Iowa Department of Public Health and anthropologist Emily Wenzel of the University of Iowa. She'll give us a historical view of testing for sexually transmitted infections or diseases. That's all coming up in just a moment. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Back in just a moment.